This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Kevin's not here.
What?
Who do you want to blame? 877-881-1053. Tell us right now. We'll wait. We can sit around and just wait.
Do you think there was too much seasoning in his food this weekend?
His stomach doesn't know how to handle.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't get it. Like, his body is rejecting food.
Isn't that a thing? Like, if you don't eat a certain food for a long time. If I didn't eat Jack in the Box for, like, 10 years and I ate Jack in the Box, I'd be like, ugh.
I think you'd be fine if you're eating other fast food.
Okay. But if not,
let's just say you're eating a very clean diet. It's all homemade. You're not eating any fried food. You are eating, let's say, chicken and steak and fish, but it's always grilled. It's always baked. And then you go to Jack in the Box, and nothing against Jack in the Box, or you go to Sonic,
it's
or
greasy.
Whataburger,
it's
or
what, it's got lots of grease.
You're going to have an issue. But if you have been eating Whataburger most of the time, and then you go to Jack in the Box, I don't think your body's going to have an issue at all. If you're vegetarian, and then you
start eating meat,
yeah, your body is going to not like it for, I don't know, 5 to 7 days, Alec, and then it'll start getting used to it.
Alec shaking his head yes back there. Have you tried this? Have you tried to go vegetarian? And then
no, that just sounds like what would happen. Okay. I'm never going to try that, probably ever, but I've done one of those like juice cleanses for a week. That sucked. So I can vouch for that. Like, you are so hungry the whole time, and then whenever you eat real food, you're like, I forgot what this is like.
Yeah.
Like, consistency is real. This is so weird.
Tasty. Maybe he had a juice cleanse and his body didn't know how to respond to it. Oh. We'll have to wait until tomorrow to find out if he decides to show up. By the way, we will be at Palmer's Hot Chicken on Thursday. Hot chicken, hot catfish, and shrimp as well. 6465 East Mockingbird Lane. 15% of sales that day are going to be donated to the Guns and Hoses Foundation. Helps families of first responders. Also, you're going to get that holiday edition of the 105.3 The Fan Flask. So come see us at Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish, and Shrimp.
So I've never had hot catfish.
Okay.
I think that's something I want to try on Thursday at Palmer's Hot Chicken.
Catfish and Shrimp.
Catfish and Shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Is I've had hot chicken before.
Okay.
And maybe.
Theirs is hot, dude.
Maybe
hot
at the end of the show, I'll try the hottest chicken. I've never gone to like, hey, let's just try the extreme chicken where I see people, you know, in major trouble, like afterwards. I don't know how hot Palmer's chicken is.
Yeah.
And catfish and shrimp. I'd like to try just hot catfish, but not the hottest catfish.
Right.
And then maybe at the end of the show, I try the hottest chicken.
This is a great idea because this red thing right here, you're going to turn Rangers red.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to turn, like, my son tried their hottest. And he was like, Dad, we got to go home now. And I was like, why? And he was like, we have to go. So yeah, that's going to be going on Thursday. Maybe Mike will try that out and we'll all get to see his face turn fire truck red. That'll be awesome. Mike, Aroldis Chapman just agreed to a deal with the Boston Red Sox, 1 year, $10.75 million, according to Jeff Passan.
That ruins your dream of yesterday.
bringing him back and having him part of the thing again.
It does go to show. I get how frustrated Ranger fans were in 23 with the inconsistency or at times the threat of losing the game that Aroldis Chapman would put you in. But it shows how limited left-handed late inning relief pitchers are that can touch, let's say, 100.
Mm-hmm.
That Aroldis Chapman is getting how much money on
10.75. He got 10 last year.
10.75 last year. Was it Pittsburgh who signed him? It just shows that even Aroldis Chapman, who you're like, dude, I don't want him back. I'm just taking a lot of Ranger fans were telling me that last year. I can remember Kevin going, I don't want him back. I'm like, but at a certain number.
Yeah, at a certain number, I think we all agree.
That it does cost you $10 million for a person like Aroldis Chapman. And let's be honest, he's not getting better from 2023. He's getting closer to 40 than he is closer to 30. So he's deteriorating a little bit from 23. That's still $10 million reliever.
Yeah, you were talking yesterday about getting like the reliever numbers, and $10 million's too much for the Rangers to go for one guy.
Well, that's why I was like with Class A, it would cost you like a Kamar Rocker to start the deal. I'm not saying it's Rocker for maybe it would be. I don't think so. But you'd have to do Rocker and then maybe another pretty good prospect to maybe get Cleveland to think about giving you Emmanuel Class A, because you'd have him for 4 years. And the last year of it would be $10 million. Class A on the free agent marketplace is as much as Hader was, maybe more.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a dude who should be getting somewhere between 20 and 30 million per year.
Wow.
And you'd be getting him at under 10 per year for 4 years.
Yeah, that's a smart buy right there.
So, I mean, that would help you out financially, but you'd have to give some quality stuff up to get him.
A lot of people texting in thinking that Kevin is missing because of past situations that he's dealt with whenever it came to checking himself in. Which he says aren't true, but we still have questions. A lot of people
he's been thinking too hard about a white Christmas.
A lot of people are suggesting that because of the A&M loss from the 214, as all A&M fans in their delusion, he's still stunned they lost to Texas and refuses to come out of his house. That's a possibility. And then from the 817, vegetarian here, been that way 8 years, had a Whataburger chicken sandwich a couple weeks ago because it looked so good. Made it through without any bad reactions, surprisingly, they said. So even for them, they were surprised.
I would love to have a follow-up. How much energy did they feel like they got? Now, I get if you're a vegetarian, you're getting protein in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But to have kind of that, I'll call it pure protein, of just like a grilled chicken breast.
Yeah.
Like, did your body go, holy cow? Like, that is a good amount of protein. And
don't know how to handle it right now.
Like, I don't know.
Last night, the Stars in their first game against Utah got a good one.
Leading a charge, Ben scores! What a gorgeous shot from the Stars captain!
And that's Jamie Benn's goal right there. That was the 2-1 right there. Stars win 2-1. And the Dodonov score before that was special, man. That was one of those, the corners, the post is getting hugged real tight. And he just puts it right there in the crack, man. Finds the right spot for it. I see your eyes raising over there. But he puts it right there. And I was talking about that with the Hockey Hawk yesterday, actually. He was talking about how many posts the Stars hit. And a lot of people talk about that a lot. And you're like, man, they're just using angles. They're using these narrow windows to try and aim at. They're going at. And that's what they did last night. The Dodonov's score was really nice. Casey DeSmith got the start. He was fantastic after what happened in the last one that he had. And the Stars moved to within 4 points of the division lead. Stay on the road to play Wednesday night against the Kings in L.A. Also, go ahead and check out the fresh Spits and Suds talking about this 2-1 win, their three-game winning streak, and a preview of the L.A. Kings right there on the Odyssey app, wherever you have your favorite podcasts are heard. You can check those out. Man, Stars got back into that winning way, though, and that's nice to see. It's tough, Mike, you know this, playing 3 of 4 nights. I know baseball's a little bit different, but having to go through that, especially in hockey, to have that in there, and then you have all three are central opponents, central division opponents. That was nice to see the Stars get through that one right there. From the 214, yes, just put the puck through the little sliver that's available, not the crack, if that's what you're getting caught up on.
Five hole?
Actually, this was over the left shoulder. So that was glove side. Is that two?
Pit hole.
I feel like one hole is going to be the top, the stick side.
Over the shoulder, ear hole?
And then, yeah, kind of in that area.
Over the left ear hole.
Okay, yes. Left ear hole area is exactly where that goal went, but it was a tight window. It was really tight because he was hugging the post on that.
That's awesome.
Great. All right, good to see. Now, Mike, I wanted to see what you think about this. You can relive the Rangers 2023 World Series Championship over and over and over again, releasing on December 9th at 9 p.m. The Texas Rangers 2023 World Series film presents the story of the first World Series championship in Texas Rangers franchise history. Bruce Bochy led them to their unprecedented 11-0 postseason road record. They beat Arizona, all the fun stuff, Seager, Adolis. You get to relive the whole thing, the party afterwards and all that, for only $12.99. You can pre-order the movie and purchase it, and it'll be right there on your Amazon Prime every time. Do Rangers fans need to buy this?
I guess as a employee somewhat of the Rangers, I will say yes.
I asked Adrian last night. I was like, Adrian, I feel like I need to purchase this. And she was like, well, like, can you? And I was like, listen,
will it always be $12.99?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. That's a pre-order thing. So I don't know if one day maybe it's free somewhere. But
we watched a movie with the family over the holidays and we're like, ah, screw it. And it was $3.99.
Yeah.
But $12.99, I don't know. I mean, I thought like Sports Illustrated or somebody always put out some sort of thing right after a team wins a national championship or a World Series or an NBA Finals, but maybe that's dead and gone. So this is, it took time to put it together.
Heck yeah, it did.
It took a whole year.
Yes.
So the editing of it.
And the filming of it, all that work to get this.
And they started filming at the World Series? Did they start filming like at the end of the season for a playoff run?
I think they're just running through the playoffs. I could be wrong. I bet they haven't.
So they did this with every team and they had to trash all of the footage of the other teams that made the playoffs?
From the
whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
469, hell yes. From the 619, yes. From the 469, I'd spend $100. And then from the 817, I'll watch it on the jailbroken Fire Stick. Yes, there are people out there that are going to find ways to do it. But if you have it, it's yours. It's on your Amazon Prime account. Now, my question on that is, if at some point Amazon decides to sell licensing, let's say that's 25 years down the road, they sell the licensing, they don't have it anymore, do I still have that? Or is it now deleted and I wasted $12.99? That's the great thing about having hard copies of DVDs and stuff, just like having cards, right? Is that they can't be deleted and moved on from because of licensing down the road. So that's something I don't know about, but I feel like I really want to watch this because I want to see, I want to relive that, man. It was so much fun.
I
want to watch
it too. It's just interesting. I feel like when you're buying a movie now, and I don't get to have that movie forever. You're right. You pay $4, and then once you start it, you have like 48 hours to finish it.
Yeah. Well, some of them you get to buy and they go on to your account. You have them in your library. But a lot of those things, those rentals, they're done within 48 hours. Yes.
Okay.
So that's going on there. Now, you said when CeeDee Lamb was drafted that he was going to be, you thought, based on watching him, you thought he's going to be the best Cowboys receiver of all time, and you thought Hall of Famer?
I won't say Hall of Famer, but what I thought is this. The way the game was going, where Dak Prescott, I won't say this because I think injuries are maybe going to slow down his overall stats for his career, but I just thought the way the game was going, the talent of CeeDee Lamb, that he is going to hold every record in Dallas Cowboys history, receiving record.
Yes.
The receptions, the yards, the touchdowns. He's going to hold every Cowboys record when his career is over. So I thought, I don't know if that'll make him a Hall of Famer or not, but I thought this dude is really good. I really like the drafting of him. And I thought the way the game was going, as long as he stayed healthy, he would hold every major Cowboys record receiving.
Now, he has become the fastest to get to 6,000 yards. And I was wondering if, based on what you've seen him do and based on what he's done so far, and 877-881-1053, chime in on this. We do have Bobby Belt in studio as well. Based on what he's done in the first part of his career, do you still agree that that original assessment is going to put him there? Because the one difference right now is I don't see a in the near future Super Bowl. Michael Irvin will always have that thing because he has three of those.
Right.
But as far as individual, I do feel a lot of times individually receivers can be looked at differently because I caught ball, I ran with it. That's what I lived up to. Do you think that he's going to live up to what you thought originally based on what he's done so far?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't see him slowing down. I get that he had three drops last game.
Yeah, tough.
It was a bad, in a weird way, it was a bad game for him. As it was a good game for the Cowboys, overall, you'd say CeeDee had a below average game for his standard.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I think that at the end of his career, he's going to hold all the Cowboys records. I think he has a possibility. He's going to have to stay healthy. He has a possibility to be top 10 in receiving yards in the history of the NFL. The problem that I run into is the way, I'll just go to baseball real quick, even though people get ticked off when I do baseball and football at the same time. 150 wins is now going to equal close to 300 wins in baseball in the history of it, which is weird, right? We're going to look at Max Scherzer and compare him to Tom Glavine. And Tom Glavine is going to have literally, I don't know, 150 more wins in his career. I need to look up their numbers, but I think in the way that CeeDee Lamb is going to have, I don't know, 5,000 to 8,000 more yards than Michael Irvin had in his career. Maybe, like, that's not comparable.
Right.
But yet they'll compare it because they'll be like, well, in the history of the NFL, the way that we've seen passing yards go up tremendously over 20, 30 years ago equals out about this, and this is why I'm not voting for CeeDee Lamb.
Gotcha.
And that's going to be tough. So CeeDee Lamb will probably be compared more to, we're only going to let in five Hall of Famers of this wide receiver crop. Jefferson, Chase, CeeDee Lamb, you know, start throwing in maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. I know he's just starting his career and who knows where it's going to go, but if you could only pick five of these guys to go into the Hall of Fame, and we're not going to pick more than five, then maybe CeeDee Lamb just gets left out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I also look a lot of times like Jerry Rice's numbers look like they'll never be touched.
Right.
Those numbers, I always imagine, I'm like, okay, if you're Justin Jefferson, do you just sit there and constantly go, how I got to get to Jerry Rice's number? And you're constantly telling coaches, no, I need this much, I need to do this. I mean, your career injury-wise, never, you can't predict any of that stuff. You can't predict the longevity that Jerry Rice had either. But there was what, 12 years of dominance from him where it was like you don't see stuff like
that. I would say you have to put that into your thinking if you're going to break it, because I just remember Emmett Smith within 1 or 2 years of his career, he's like, I'm going after Walter Payton. You're like, this is insane. You might want to just concentrate on 1993 right now. But he put it into his brain that he is going to try to accomplish this goal. And so I think if you're Justin Jefferson or somebody who's going to be like, I'm going to try to break Jerry Rice's record, I think early on in your career, you have to put that as a goal. And it changes your mindset on how you treat your body and how you treat your career.
I think you're dead on there. Coming up next, Bobby Belt will join us as Mike asks all the football questions next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, this Friday, we're going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Rockwall. So you can take a load off with us. Looking forward to seeing you and Rockwall at Buffalo Wild Wings. But right now, it's time for Mike to ask all the football questions with special guest Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt, I gave him $5 to be here, and he took it. Thank you,
Bobby. Payola, baby.
Is that how it works?
I don't think that's exactly the definition. But
so I told Kevin to take a load off today.
Yeah.
I texted him on the text chain.
Sounds like he is.
He just vomited more. He just vomited more than he has the last couple days hearing that.
Yep.
All right, we're going to start off with a big win from the Steelers also, because Baltimore lost. It looks like they're going to win that division. Now, I know there's more games to play, and they could go on a losing streak, but it looks like the Steelers are going to win that division and be a top three seed in the AFC. Have you changed your mind with the win and then the Baltimore loss that the Steelers are a true AFC contender, that they could win the AFC and be in the Super Bowl?
They will be in position to be able to do that. And that's because of their schedule this year. And that's because they are, like you just said, Baltimore has kind of goofed around at times whenever they needed to secure wins to give themselves the best record in their division. So I do think that Pittsburgh is going to have that opportunity. Do I think that they're going to be winning the AFC championship game? No, but I think they definitely can get to it.
Yeah, they're. I think there's only one elite team in the AFC, Buffalo. Kansas City, Baltimore, like, they have the potential to click into elite depending on how they clean some things up the rest of the way. But, I mean, Pittsburgh deserves a lot of credit for ever since Russell Wilson got back, they look like they can score at times. Like, and they didn't look like they could score consistently with Justin Fields. And so Russell Wilson was really good on Sunday, and he continues to play well. Cincinnati's defense is bad, so, I mean, that has to be factored in a little bit. But, yeah, they have more of a shot of getting to the Super Bowl right now than I thought was possible when I was studying them leading up to the Dallas game. I didn't think they had any shot then.
Because their offense was not productive at all.
There were a lot of things that looked fluky about them that I was like, I don't think this is sustainable. It's been a different team with Russell Wilson.
All right.
Can I ask a football question,
ask
Mike?
All of them.
Do you think Pickens will grow up anytime soon?
No.
Because Tomlin saying that, if Tomlin was to say that to me, I'd be like, I better get my S together.
No, I think if they could have traded George Pickens this offseason, they would have.
Because
he's been a pain for them. But to be fair, it's also like, since Russell Wilson got in the lineup, it's clicked something with him.
Yeah.
And he's played a whole lot better. They'll put up with it as long as he's playing well.
Next football question is a Dallas Cowboys tight end football question.
Jay Novacek.
Who will have a better career? And it doesn't have to be all with the Cowboys. If you had to pick now, who will have a better career? Scooney or Ferguson?
My buddy's nephew is dating Novacek's daughter.
Really?
Yeah, I just found that out the other day.
Oh, my gosh.
I think he's like a blue chip tight end prospect, too.
So anyway. Yeah. Well, he's not dating Eric Bjornson's daughter.
I think that Jake Ferguson, I love the style he plays with. I think that the physical style he plays with is going to shorten his career. And I don't think that Schoonmaker is as physical, while he's still very big. He has looked more productive in the running and blocking in the run game, and that's going to get him more opportunities as things go along. And I think they want him to succeed. And the Cowboys do move on from tight ends pretty quickly. They'll just keep replacing. So I'll give Schoonmaker that edge.
I still think it's Ferguson, just because Ferguson's shown an athleticism at the next level that I didn't see that he had when he was at Wisconsin. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be he's got to take a next step. Like, I was a little disappointed that we weren't getting an elevation this year before he got hurt. Like, yes. It's not like he had taken it. I think everybody's expecting, okay, he's legit now. He's going to take this next step. And that didn't really happen. Schoonmaker started slow, but if you go back and look at the history of tight ends in Dallas just in recent, Dalton Schultz didn't do anything his first year. I think he had 12 catches. People were talking about he's getting cut entering his third year. And then all of a sudden it clicked and he caught on. Martellus Bennett didn't produce early. You have the same thing with Anthony Fasano here. Like, it's been a young tight end problem that the Cowboys have had historically. So I would still lean Ferguson, but I do think Schoonmaker's showing he's building confidence, and I don't want to write off what he could potentially be, because coming out of the draft, I thought he was a better player than Ferguson.
Right now, is Brock Bowers the best tight end in the NFL? I mean, LaPorta, Mark Andrews still there.
He's
McBride's
up
good.
I haven't watched enough of the Raiders this year, other than just in passing.
Eye popping.
But I mean, he was. That's why he was to me, like, if you talk about pound for pound, he's like right up there as one of the best players in the draft last year. Because I've never seen a tight end take over a game and win it for you the way he did against Auburn last year.
And he's done it for the Raiders, you know, as best he can.
He's a stud. He's awesome.
Do you think in the next 2 to 3 years the Cowboys will offer one of these tight ends a 3 or 4 year deal?
They're going to have to probably with Ferguson if they want to keep him, because this is after the year 3, so he'll be eligible for an extension starting next year. And because he's a fourth round pick, he doesn't have the fifth year option. So they would either have to offer him an extension or risk exposing him to free agency unless they wanted to tag him.
But if you do that, are you saying, well, when Scooney comes up, we just have to let him go? Because he's only a 4 year guy too, right?
I don't know. 2 year deals or two tight end offenses aren't totally uncommon. Like, two tight ends play pretty frequently. Like, there was a time where I think the Cowboys envisioned Schultz and Jarwin both being here before injuries changed things and Schultz kind of blew up. But yeah, they may have to pick one of them. If they had to pick one, I would guess, unless Ferguson starts showing, but see, Schoonmaker's had injury issues too. So
yeah,
I would imagine they would lean towards Ferguson, but I could see them keeping both.
Yeah. When they've moved on from Schultz after he was as productive as he was, I don't see why the Cowboys would value it any more now and change their mind about that and say, hey, we're going to stick with you instead.
We're going to get into a little bit of kind of draft questions here, but it's based off
a great
of
person for it.
Where it's based off of current players in the league. Last night, I know Cleveland lost. Jameis Winston has been a pretty good quarterback for the Browns, in my estimation. Do you think that Jameis Winston is the answer in Cleveland and they will use him as the starting quarterback in the future?
He is a starting quarterback in the NFL. And that's where I will leave that.
He is a bridge quarterback. Whatever that you're comfortable with, if you need him, if you just say, hey, we need to be competitive. Right now, you know how Ryan Tannehill got to a point where it's like you feel comfortable with Tannehill starting. He's not going to be here for forever, but you feel like you can contend as a playoff team if Tannehill's here.
Yeah.
Like, I think Winston has reached that point,
but
potentially.
But he's far more exciting than Tannehill.
Yes. He's also far more terrifying.
Exactly. And that's part of the excitement.
So, but no, I think that, yeah, Cleveland, I would guess if they don't love one of the quarterbacks, I could see them saying, we'll just roll with Tannehill or we'll just roll with Winston.
And I guess this is where now I'm bringing up the draft. I think here's the issue for Cleveland. I think teams like the Raiders and the Giants and the Jets are probably going to have a worse record than them. So they're going to have to trade a lot to get one of these guys. So if you don't like Winston, you kind of have to trade your future to get a young quarterback. And there's only two in this draft. According to Tankathon, there's only Shedeur Sanders and Cameron Ward. Those are the only two first-round draft picks. And I think after you get past the first round, you can see the success of quarterbacks after the first round. Not that the first round is perfect, but after the first round, it's pretty low. Your guy's going to succeed, like a Romo and a Dak.
Yep.
Those are miracles. I know that he was kind of drinking when he said it, but Romo was a miracle, and Dak Prescott was a miracle too.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, and some people may look at it though and go, just look at recent history, and Lamar Jackson became a two-time MVP as the last pick in the first round, and Jalen Hurts has been a good starting quarterback for a second round pick, and a lot of people think Bo Nix has played better than anybody else. His pick 13 or whatever
all
he was the last
those,
one
all three of those went to either good franchises or a good head coach.
Sure. And I do think
Cleveland is neither.
I think Stefanski's a good coach. I do think he is.
He's just in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. But I think yeah, if you're telling me trade up, sacrifice a bunch for Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, or just wait and pick Garrett Nussmeier from LSU, I would much rather take Garrett Nussmeier.
Nussmeier sucks.
Garrett Nussmeier's got Garrett Nussmeier's raw. He's got all the tools that, like, he's got better tools than any of the other quarterbacks.
He might be colorblind, too.
I think he leads the SEC in interceptions. Yeah.
He cannot tell which color his team's
look,
in.
Josh Allen was the toolsiest prospect who looked completely raw when he came out.
You kind of answered this question, but Shedeur Sanders and Cameron Ward, now that the season is over, they get to play in a bowl game. I get it. Maybe Miami gets to play in multiple because they advance in the playoffs. But now it's over. Now it's all based off of a little bit of crap to me. I get that there's value in the interview. I get that there's value in watching private workouts. But now it's over in watching them play real football.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you like more out of these two quarterback prospects and why? By just watching them play football. I think it's important to remember who you like now more than who you like after. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
watching them, I think, is way more important than interviewing them and then having them. Hell, there's a guy, he might be listening right now. He's a Tolo. Brian Hardy went to Arlington Martin. He was drafted out of high school from Arlington Martin. The dude hit the ball further than Jim Tome in rookie ball.
Wow.
He couldn't hit a ball to save. I love you, Brian. Couldn't hit a ball to save his life in rookie ball. I don't think he got out of rookie ball. He's a firefighter here in the DFW area. But, like, you watch Brian Hardy take batting practice, he would be the first overall pick in the draft. And you watched him play baseball, you're like, I might want to back off of that situation. So that's why I bring up, now that we're about to hear all the crap about private workouts and throwing 80 for 80 against no defense, who do you like better and why?
Watch the film, watch the tape, check that out, and then go with that. I was asked this question by my father-in-law over the holidays.
Well,
and I said Cam Ward. There are qualities about him that I like a lot more. I like Shedeur Sanders. I think there are good things about him, too. I don't know how he's going to respond to another coach, if he ever has another coach. But I do like him, but I like Ward more.
So I have not tape studied Cam Ward yet. I've watched him on broadcast. I've not tape studied Cam Ward yet. I have tape studied Shedeur. Like, and I've gotten in through a couple of his games. I would, without seeing it on tape yet, I think Cam Ward's better. Shedeur Sanders is a good player. Like, Shedeur will be good. The thing is, just, do you know who the most common comp Shedeur Sanders is getting from scouts, where they say that's who he reminds me of?
Deion.
Geno Smith. Which, Geno Smith is a good player, but do you say, I want to pick Geno Smith top three or something like that?
Yeah, Geno Smith, hey, what he's done in his career, congratulations.
Shout out Reggie.
He will never lead you to a Super Bowl championship.
Right, but good player. If you tell me I can pick Geno Smith at 28, I might do that.
Yeah.
But I'm not picking Geno Smith in the top five. And that's, Shedeur gets a lot of Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, Bo Nix type of comps. That's who he's compared to. But I would take Cam Ward.
From the 469, I bet Hardy's killing it for a department softball team. Do you think that he can crush softball? Yeah.
Delete.
I'd take him on my team immediately.
He'd kick your butt. He's a big dude.
Hey, I don't want to fight him. I don't have any need to fight him.
I don't want
to
fight him or Jim Tomey.
Yeah.
Do you feel like my $5 was spent well?
Dude. Anytime.
We didn't even get to the last draft question. Look at that.
We're out of time.
Oh, damn.
Go ahead.
Spilled all the time.
Actually, you know what? Because he doesn't want it to kill baseball.
Yeah,
nuggets.
We had about an 8-minute commercial.
That's true. Like
thank you very much, Bobby,
for
$5 hopping on
Mike.
With us.
You're
we will see
and
you
the
soon.
Pumpkin.
Also,
enjoy
don't forget,
pumpkin.
You can bid on Jared Sandler's Swinging for a Cause charity event at Globe Life Field on Sunday, December 8th. By hopping on right now, 877-881-1053. You can call in and give your bid to Alec. And I think that Sean and RJ, their table's at 1,500 right now, so we got to surpass that. That table for you and five other friends. You can also, you can go ahead and message Alec if you want to on Twitter, at Alexander Medford. Is that what it is?
It's at Alec on the radio.
At Alec on the radio. In addition to sitting with us, you're also going to get two tickets to the Rangers game in 2025 and a studio visit with our show. So go ahead and do that right now. Mike, now it's time for Baseball Nuggets next.
The Rangers have a catcher. Jonah Heim, split duties, next.
To left, down the line, charge the pole, gone! Kyle Higashioka walks it off! Padres win it 4-3!
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Yes, that was a Padres highlight, but it's for a Rangers reason, and we discuss it with Mike Bacsik in Baseball Nuggets.
The Rangers get a catcher. And they like this catcher based off of the contract given. Kyle Higashioka. Am I saying that right?
Higashioka.
Higashioka. Okay. Obviously, it's a long last name.
I feel like that's going to be important for you,
Mike. I feel like it is, too. I feel like I have time to get it, though. and this is the tough part about my job. Am I following backup catchers for most teams? I am not. So this guy was a backup catcher in New York for a while with the Yankees. It took him a while to get to the major leagues, by the way. So he was a, I believe, a high school pick. But it took him a while to get there. He gets there. Last year, he's the backup catcher for San Diego, but because their young catcher, sorry, I'm forgetting his name right now, Luis Campisano, yep. I might be saying that wrong.
Sounds good.
He had a horrible year. Okay. So San Diego's scared to death that they're like, this dude who we thought was going to be good isn't good. And then we have this, they honestly have maybe the next Pudge Rodriguez, they feel like, in San Diego's system, but he's only like 18 years old and they don't think he's ready for the majors in 2025. But getting back to this guy, the Rangers guarantee a 2-year $13.5 million contract, 5.75 this upcoming season, 6.75 the next year. There is a $1 million buyout on a 2027 option valued at $7 million. So there's a possibility you signed a catcher who's going to turn 35 to a 3-year contract, 2 years guaranteed. You can buy him out of the last year at $1 million if it's not working out.
What? I'm sorry, real quick. Do you mind helping me out? Did they, the last time I knew, they wanted Carson Kelly to split time.
Right.
Did they just say we don't want that, or was he out of their price range?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. He hasn't signed yet. Yeah, other catchers have signed. He's one of only two catchers left on the marketplace. So the marketplace it's interesting. Smaller moves are being made that I'm not going to report, because let's be honest, most people don't care about backup catcher signing unless they're signing with your team. But this money suggests to me that this is way more of a 50-50 situation than a backup catcher situation.
Yes.
Last year, I think the Rangers ran into a major issue. They tried to, very cheaply, but they tried to use Andrew Kisner as a major backup catcher and go, we're going to do it as cheap as possible. And it bit them in the butt.
Yeah.
Right? It hurt them. Why? Because Jonah Heim was not nearly as good as he was in 2023. In fact, he didn't come close to his 2023 standards. So when they needed somebody to step in and be, one, a good defensive catcher, which Kisner struggled with, and then two, be an offensive weapon at times because Jonah was giving you nothing offensively for stretches at times, Kisner couldn't do it. So they had to trade for Carson Kelly to see if they could make an August-September run, which they didn't. Carson Kelly was okay here, but didn't do anything to be like, we have to have him back.
Yeah, exactly.
But this contract to me suggests Jonah Heim and Higashioka.
Higashioka.
Yeah, it's going to take me a while to get this.
I think they're all taking bets in the other room as whether or not you're going to get it right.
I'll get it right by March 28th.
I got 50 on you, Mike. Come on.
Alec believes in you.
Higashioka.
There you go.
Is probably going to catch close to 50% of the time. In fact, I think there will be a competition on who the everyday, if there is an everyday catcher, it is not given to Jonah Heim at all. It will have to be earned. And I don't think it'll be earned in spring training. This will be earned over the month of April and into probably mid-May.
Okay.
I think they are going to split time for the first 6 weeks of the season. And then after 6 weeks, does somebody stand out? Let's be honest. The hope is yes. Because if nobody's standing out, and I guess you could hope they're both doing awesome, but realistically, when you look at the numbers here, you're looking at a guy who hit 220 last year with a 739 OPS, which is one of his best OPSs of his career, especially like I just can't count 2020. That's a fake year. He only played 60 games and he only played 16 of the 60 games. So I'm not counting that when it comes to batting average and OPS. Last year, he played in 84 games. I expect him for the Texas Rangers to play in at least 70 games if he's healthy next year.
Really? Okay.
That's where I think they're at with Jonah Heim Now, I hope it changes. I hope Jonah gets back to 2023. 17 homers, only 54 hits overall. So 17 homers is quite a bit from a backup catching situation, only playing half of a season. Because if you were to put him as an everyday outfielder, you'd be like, well, he's going to hit close to 30 home runs. The issue is he's a 220 hitter and his on-base percentage was at 263. He's not going to draw walks. Obviously, he's a catcher. Most catchers can't run. He can't run. So I look at this and go, this is where, like if somebody said, Mike, you should be a front office guy or whatever. There's such a learning curve because I have to not only know all the starting catchers, I have to know all the backup catchers, I have to know all the AAA catchers. Then you have to know all the kind of prospect catchers in baseball. And that's just one position.
Do you have to know them all, or do you trust your scouts? You trust your guys?
I don't want to trust, if I'm giving a dude $15 million on a two-year deal and maybe $22 million on a three-year deal, I need to have a strong opinion about this guy.
All right,
I
but if Chris Young hired you,
right,
is he going to trust you?
I think he'll trust me, but he won't just blindly go with whatever I say.
He's going to go watch what he wants.
If I say, hey, go sign this relief pitcher from Washington on a three-year, $24 million contract, he's going to be like, if you haven't really heard of the guy, I'm going to go start watching as much as I can
guy. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going
to be like, do I agree or disagree with his opinion?
Gotcha.
So I would have to watch Kyle Hashigawa. Hagashioka. Hagashioka.
There you go.
Watch him play quite a bit. Man, it is. Hey, it's a last name. You know, there used to not be last names, which was.
Adam and Eve. Yeah.
Well, Jesus of Nazareth. Like, there was no last
name. Of Nazareth. That's his last name.
No, that's where he's from.
What his middle name is of?
You would just say Corey of Dallas.
Okay.
Or Corey of Brian Adams. But then that's a dude who has a last name. And then that would think Brian Adams would be like, wait, your dad's Brian Adams?
Do you know? So Eric the Red had a son, and his son's name was Leaf. But his son's.
Are these real people? Or is this a show?
His last name was Erickson. Leaf Erickson. He was Eric the Red's son, Erickson. That's how he got his last name.
Okay.
Look it up.
Well, it'll be interesting for the Texas Rangers as they got a position field. I don't know much about him. I can only give you stats. I can only give you what he's done in his career. He made the major leagues at 27 years old in 2017. He's been a backup his whole career. And at the end of last year, San Diego decided to make him an everyday catcher. I don't think he's coming here to be an everyday catcher. But as an everyday catcher in the month of September, these are only numbers. As an everyday catcher in the month of September, he hit 174 with a 491 OPS.
Gross.
So I go to August, where he was pretty much the everyday catcher for the first time in his life. He hit 231 with an 800 OPS. That's much better, right? But September, he struggled. In the playoffs, he did pretty well in the playoffs. He hit 263 with a 1062 OPS.
Not bad.
That being said, it was seven games.
Yeah.
You can always manipulate. Hey, in the last seven games, Leody Taveras has a over one OPS. And then you go to the next seven games and go, like, he has a 0.2 OPS. Like, sometimes seven games, that's why playoff numbers, especially in baseball, they're very tough because you play 162 games and then you play a seven-game stretch and you say, this is who this guy
is. That's the defining factor.
Over seven games. But he did have a really nice playoffs. The Rangers must like him a lot, my opinion, to give this contract. They see him as a guy who could be the everyday catcher in the future. Because I need to look at Jonah
34?
Heim. They gave him a three-year contract.
Every day?
Jonah Heim, is this his last year?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. So I think he's a free agent after 25.
Okay.
Which if you're on a budget, it would be tough to be like, now we're going to also give Jonah Heim, let's say, $8 million a year.
Yeah, he's only got 1 year, $5 million right now. Yeah.
So so I'm projecting out that somebody would probably give a guy like Jonah Heim, a switch-hitting catcher, who's a pretty good defensive catcher, would probably give him like a two-year, $16 or $17 million deal.
And you don't know that there's anybody. I know you have some idea, but you don't know that there's anybody in the system that's coming up that's going to be the future.
I don't think the Rangers have catching prospects at all in AA or AAA. No. Now, that's obviously, bad. They just drafted a first-round pick from Stanford.
Yes.
But he is 2 to 4 years away from possibly being a major league player.
Man.
So, like, you're looking at, if everything worked out perfectly, you have a great year from both of your catchers. Hisagawa, I probably said it wrong, but he's your catcher up until your first-round pick from Stanford is ready.
Gotcha.
Now, I could be wrong. Hey, man, if you're with the Rangers, text me if you think that they got a dude in AA or AAA who's going to be like an everyday catcher. Who's
I know more
be good.
About their pitching prospects than I do anything else at the moment, for sure.
Yeah. But and then also Dave Raymond just said, just call him Higgy. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you, Higgy. Yeah, that's a long last name.
You know what,
Dave?
I'll
figure it out. I'll get it right. By the time we get to spring training and stuff like that, I'll get Higgy's name right.
That's a good partner that Dave Raymond is for you. Like, here I was, like, trying to bury you even more, and he's sitting there trying to prop you up and give you tools. That's good. That's nice.
So the Rangers are moving and shaking. There's articles out there that talk about how much money they have. Supposedly, they had approximately, before yesterday, $53 million to spend. They have spent now approximately $6 million of that, if that makes sense. To stay under the tax that they need to stay under, they now have approximately $47 million left. If I look at it this way, if I want to keep Nathan Eovaldi at $22 million a year, I think that's going to be around his number. So I take that 47, let's say, minus 22, I'm at $25 million. I have $25 million left. If it cost me about $12 million, and I might be low on that number, to bring Kirby Yates back, I'm down to $12 to $13 million left, and I need to still fill two bullpen roles.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So that's where it starts getting a little bit scary on the budget that you have.
That is great stuff, Mike, and I'll ask – maybe we can talk about Sam Huff. They just don't look at him as a future catcher, right? With Sam Huff, that's kind of a...
I'm 99% sure. Now, look, I need to look and see if he's...
He's got 1 year left at $500,000.
He's still on the 40-man roster?
2025. Like, sure, yeah, I don't know about the 40. He's got a contract. His status is estimate.
I need to look up
estimate.
More of Sam Huff and okay. see like if they took him off the 40-man. I know there's 39 out of 40 guys are on. There's only one spot available on the 40-man roster. So let's say you sign Eovaldi and Yates, and I know we need to get to break. Yeah. But then you have to start looking at who do we release off of the 40-man roster and make available for if it were to come quickly. Next week is the Rule 5 draft, which is a whole other thing that I don't want to explain right now. It takes too much time. So
okay, so until then, we have Haim and Higashioka. There you go. Coming up next, it's time to chit-chat with our friend Mickey Spagnola from DallasCowboys.com. Next on The Fan.